Books of the Bible. Haggai was a prophet around the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. When the efforts to rebuild the temple had stopped, Haggai encouraged the people to continue and reminded them of God's presence among them and the importance of assembling together to worship. When you consider your priorities, give careful attention to the worship of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you remember the first time you heard him? This is Wretched Radio. Dr. John MacArthur, he's leaving us, perhaps even as we speak, faithfully serving his Lord for six decades, line by line, verse by verse, the entire New Testament. We're headed into year number two of preaching through Matthew. And I feel like we've climbed a mountain. Well, he did Mark, Luke, and John too. And Acts and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He did the entire New Testament, verse by verse. That is a life well lived. And so it is as we hear the announcement from his church that Dr. John MacArthur will soon be leaving us. We want to remember his life rightly. We want to remember our Savior is the one responsible for every good fruit that was produced from the ministry life of Dr. John MacArthur. And yet, I think simultaneously, we can personally mourn a loss. This isn't when somebody's in your ear like that for so long, and he's helping you to love Jesus more, that's a close relationship. And so I think what we should be mourning at this time is not the loss to the church. Jesus isn't in a panic. We mourn the loss of a brother and a friend and a man who was faithful. Jimmy, do you happen to recall the first time you heard the preaching of John MacArthur?
I can.
Where were you?
I was sitting in the school pickup line to pick one of my kids up from school. I heard him on the radio for the very first time.
You must have been scanning through.
I was. Yeah. I was. And I stopped on the Christian station, which I intended to do. But it was the first time I had ever heard him. He was preaching on Paul's thorn in
the
flesh.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember the sermon?
I do, because I'd never heard anyone handle the text and handle scripture the way he did.
Right.
It captivated me.
Oh, you know, I remember, I think it becomes so, when you listen to John so much, it's just like he's just breathing air. I can't remember what conference I was at Grace Community Church, and he was preaching on Paul not losing heart. And he identified, I think it might have been 2 Corinthians, that it was an inclusia, meaning there was a section inside of the book where it said this at the beginning and it said the same thing a few paragraphs later. So everything in the middle is about that thing. And I believe he had identified 12 to 15 ways for a pastor to not lose heart. I think it was Shepscon. And he preached, I think, for about 75 minutes. And it was clear he was doing a lot of editing on the fly, because I think he could have gone on, frankly, for 7.5 hours. How in the world does a man do that? Well, some of it is training. Some of it is practice. But some of that is just special gifting that the Lord just gave him the ability. He saw 12 encouragements for the weary pastor who's on the brink of losing heart. And I remember sitting there when it was done, being staggered by his ability to handle scripture. But like that was a master class. Now, that was probably, I don't know, 7 years ago, something like that. So John was probably, if you will, in his prime. And you say, wait a second, he's 86 years old. He was 79 then. That's not your prime. Oh, yes, it was. His handling of the word just got better and better year after year. Now, Pastor, you should know that. You'll be getting better year after year, too. I'm sure you have been. In fact, I think every pastor, I hope, is encouraged by going back and cringing through a sermon they delivered years ago. Oh, wow. That's good news. The Lord's growing you. The Lord's getting you better at this thing called preaching. And honestly, without treating the man as some sort of Catholic saint, he was just the best at it. That's all. He was. If there's any, somebody had to be the best at it. John MacArthur could exposit scripture like a nobody's business. Jimmy, I can't recall the content of the first sermon or what the text was in the first sermon.
He was preaching on Paul's thorn in the flesh.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had ever heard anyone say that it wasn't something to pray away, but it was a gift of God to keep. And I'm like, whoa.
What?
Yeah. It was amazing.
That God would use that he's doing something for us, even when it's hard. Yep. That's our God who wants better things for us. And so he'll give you a thorn. I don't want to be insensitive because it can feel like I'm crashing in rather thoughtlessly, but if you're going through something right now, and frankly, who of us isn't, but if you're going through something, you need to know God is not waiting to be informed. He's in it. If it's not a sinful thing, he's causing it. If it is a sinful thing, he's ordaining it because he wants something better for you. And that is a word that we all need to hear all the time. And Jimmy, you heard that how many decades ago, sitting in the parking lot? Okay, 15 years ago?
Yeah, close to 15 years ago.
Yeah, when we first got saved, we found AM 980 KKMS. We found the cinder block bunker in the middle of a field. And I'm so grateful for local Christian radio. I still am so grateful. Local radio, Christian radio, can be an amazing thing. I delighted in those years at KKMS and KTIS when I was in the Twin Cities. There's something special about local Christian radio. And this station, it was a Salem station, and so they played all the big boys. And our routine every morning was one of us would stagger into the kitchen, hit the coffee maker button, and right above the coffee maker button was kind of a creamy white radio that I'd screwed into the cabinet above it. Whatever they called those, that trend where there was a hanging radio. And you just hit the button and boom, there's John's voice. And he was just there all the time. So was R.C. Sproul and Alistair Begg, all these guys that just fed us. And Alistair Begg just retired. R.C. Sproul left us a few years ago. That was a big chapter, y'all. They were a big part of our lives. They were. Now, we all affirm it is our local pastor we esteem the most. It is our local pastor that should be the primary feeder of you. Because he prepares his sermons for you. John never prepared a sermon for you. He prepared it for his congregation, not for you. But you benefited because you eavesdropped. But it's your pastor who's preparing a sermon just for you. If you haven't done this, would you please encourage your local pastor? That guy grinds for you. You say, what do you mean he grinds for me? I'm telling you, his life revolves around you. You say, but I don't talk to my pastor that much. That doesn't matter. His life revolves around you because of the sermon that he is preparing for you on Sunday morning. It dictates his life. Every text is different. Some lend themselves to, that was really smooth and easy. And I got that done in 12 hours instead of 15. Other texts, 18, 20. Ooh, this one was rough. And those hours have to come from someplace. Where do they come from? Probably family. Probably just a chill night with his spouse sitting on the couch. It comes from somewhere. And his whole day can be driven by, you know what? I got to wrap this up because I got to get back to my desk. I've got to get that sermon ready for you. So encourage that guy. Thank him for his faithfulness because he's your local shepherd. And as long as we're talking about local shepherds and John MacArthur, here's something I would encourage you to never do to your pastor. Hey, pastor, great sermon, but I was looking at my MacArthur study notes. Okay. Don't do that. Instead, encourage the guy because he's the guy that in a moment like this should cause us to be calm. The number one reason, in my estimation, that you and I shouldn't even remotely be troubled at all in the least about the health of the church, because a chapter is closing where we've lost R.C. Sproul, Alistair Begg is just retired, and John MacArthur is soon leaving us. We're not in a panic because we know that those are men that God used for the good of the church, to build his church, because he's the architect. He leads the construction. He's building it, and he simply uses these men. He'll raise him up, he'll drop him down, he'll raise him up and replace him, or not, and he'll keep building his church. That's our number one comfort, but our second comfort should be you don't need to worry about the church because of the thousands of faithful local shepherds out in local churches. Just because we never hear of them doesn't mean that there aren't great, godly, faithful men grinding for their people. Don't overlook the local pastor. Look, John had special gifting, the voice, the delivery. He could even sing, which was frankly quite agitating that he had that gift too. That's unique. And that was all the Lord. All of it was the Lord. But the Lord is also working with your local shepherd. Don't worry about the church. But might I encourage you to encourage your pastor? This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at fortisplus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And here's another reason to encourage your local pastor. This is Wretched Radio. Pastors faring worse than U.S. adults in relationships, well-being, but most don't get help, says a study. 52% of pastors don't get any professional support through avenues such as mentors, advisors, coaches, or counselors. One more reason your pastor needs to be encouraged. This is Wretched Radio. Your pastor has to work really hard to be able to be really transparent with somebody because anything he could say might be used against him in a court of the local church. And so he can't share how he's feeling. Hey, pastors can struggle. They can. They can have a dark night of the soul. Who do they get to tell? Nobody in the local church. Most likely. Some can. Some have relationships like that where there's a deep level of trust with somebody. And that might be one of your goals for your local church. I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that confidant. I'm going to be the trusted one. You're going to have to earn that. But nevertheless, it would be a blessing to your pastor because these men, they carry stuff that's heavy. They carry stuff that is sad. They see the ravages and the effects of sin. And it's with them all the time. Who do they get to share that with? And the answer is they can't. Now, maybe they got some buddies. They've got some pastor friends. That's why I think pastor conferences can be such a blessing. They can go hang out and commiserate a little bit. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But they can just unbear their burdens with one another without the other pastor going, what? That you felt that? You're sad about, huh? They totally get it. Your pastor doesn't have that person, though, at the ready, usually in the context of a local church. So be praying for that guy. Pastors scored 67% compared to 79% for all U.S. adults in when it comes to flourishing. Pastors are not doing as well as the population, which, by the way, as a rule, ain't doing all that well. So be praying for your pastor. Encourage that guy. It will mean so much to him. If you walked up to your pastor, if you walked up and you said, hey, pastor, thanks for grinding it out week after week, that'll mean a lot to him because that's what he does. He grinds it out. And that's not negative. It's discipline, and he's doing it motivated by love for you. If you've got a faithful shepherd, if you've got a guy who's preaching faithfully, nope, not like John MacArthur. Nobody's going to preach like John MacArthur. You know, people ask the question, who's going to fill his shoes? And the answer to that is nobody. So nobody can fill anybody's shoes. We'll see who the next guy is. I'm sure he's going to be able to handle the word just fine. Thank you very much. But never going to be John MacArthur, and your pastor isn't either. But might I say this without sounding insensitive at this time? You've got something better than John MacArthur. You've got a local shepherd. John was great, but he's not your local shepherd. Your local shepherd is your local shepherd, and that's better. How much have you been blessed by John MacArthur? You've been blessed more by your local pastor. I wonder if sometimes we can forget that. It's easy to do, isn't it? So there's just something about somebody like John. Oh, he's on Larry King. Oh, he's, you know, dealing with the whatever thing on national TV. Ooh, and those big conferences. And those are just blessings. But you've got something better. You've got your guy. Encourage him. I know that John MacArthur would amen that. Because that's why they did the Shepherd's Conference, because that's why the Master's Seminary exists. Believe me, he gets the local shepherd encouragement way more than I do because he's been exhibiting it for decades. Jimmy, did you ever get to meet John?
A couple of times, yes.
And what was your impression of that man?
He's very tall. he's a lot taller than I expected. That was my first impression of him.
That's it?
Yeah. And he should watch out because he spits when he talks.
Did he get you?
He did.
And your glasses?
Yes, exactly.
Like I was there. What must you say about me? I'm a spitter too.
Yeah, but you're in a different room.
So. It's called gleeking.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. You've got some stub. You've got these little glands in your mouth and they can be like cannons that for some of us, we got some powerful gleeking going on. I got that. And when I talk, I spit a lot.
My honest first impression of him was this is a guy that I could sit down across the table with at lunch and it'd be just somebody that I grew up knowing.
Would you like to hear my recreation of the first time I met Dr. John MacArthur?
Sure.
He's sitting at a table signing books. I made my way to him and I believe I tapped his arm on the table to get his attention. He was signing books. And I said, Dr. MacArthur, I'm Todd Friel. And he said, and I quote, but I'm not even going to come close, Todd. I was like, you love me. You've been waiting for me. You've been on a desert island and I've come to rescue you. That's how he made people feel. And I remember expressing that with Phil Johnson and Phil saying, oh, he's that way with everybody. And it didn't diminish the specialness of it because that's just the way the guy is. He made you feel like you were the most important person in the world to him. That's a shepherd. Now, that was John MacArthur. I'll never forget that. Where does that come from? Now, I guess some people, they're kind of, that's their personality, but I don't think so. I think it comes from being in the Word and loving the Lord. You know, and there's another guy like that. And this is a good reminder. To the best of my knowledge, the fellow that I'm about to mention that you probably know is not facing death imminently. But isn't it good to eulogize people while they're alive? I'm thinking of Emile Zwain. Even his texts are warm. Wow, can that be agitating? It's like, it's just, he doesn't just send, like, okay, you might send a text to a brother and go, hey, praying for you today. You know, just to let him know you're thinking about him. I think it's an expression of friendship and affection and encouragement. No, it's not Emile. My beloved brother, Todd, as I'm sitting here in prayer talking to our Savior, I'm thinking about my beloved brother, Todd. And I just wanted to let you know, I lifted your name to the throne of grace today. And I asked the Lord to fill it. That's easy. Where does that come from? Now, again, I suppose there are some people like that, but it's frankly probably phony. These are guys that just spend time in the Word and they love the Lord. Here's some good news for you. That'll happen to you too. That will happen to you. If you are spending time in the Word, and I would perhaps add a qualifier to that, spend time in the Word rightly. In other words, don't just study your Bible, please. Okay. You're writing a paper. You got to get it cranked out because you're going to SEM. Okay, fine. Study your Bible for that purpose. But don't just study your Bible normally. Study your Bible with an end. And that end is to love your Savior more. That is the reason that we should be reading the Bible. Not to learn facts, but to learn more about our amazing Savior. And if you do that, you dedicate yourself to that, I promise you, you're just going to become a sweeter human being. You will become more pastoral, even if you're not a pastor, because that's what the Word does to you. That's what the Holy Spirit will grow in you. He'll change you. He'll soften you. And he'll sweeten you. And you will esteem others as better than yourself, genuinely. Genuinely is better than yourself. If you read the Bible with a purpose. That's why I think a guy like John MacArthur was well known for being like so nice. He's like, so I love I've always loved this comment. In fact, I think John actually shared this once from the pulpit at a conference. He was quoting somebody on the internet who was criticizing him. You know, John MacArthur, he's so much nicer when you meet him. Well, it's because he is nice, because that's what the Lord has done to him. And that is what the Lord will do for you. And so now, as we are in the process of closing a chapter in evangelicalism, it's just that. It's just that. The Lord is so in control. And the Lord is calling our brother home. And as we speak, the Lord is faithfully supporting local shepherds all over the globe. And maybe, just maybe, as we speak, a baby is being born who will be another one that the Lord specially gifts in a mighty way to have a great impact. And if he's doing that, we will thank him for it, just like we do because of Dr. John MacArthur. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.